To see you is the end and the beginning. You carry me and you go before. You are the journey and the journey's end. Amen. So, as I warned you last week, we are full of the story between John and Jesus. John, who is his cousin, and Jesus, who is trying to figure out who he is in light of a family member. And Jesus, have you ever been in that place where you're sitting around and talking and people are saying stuff, you know, you're planning, you know, final actions and here we go. One time I was in the Diocese of Central New York and I was with the youth group and we were sitting with a bunch of youth group leaders and a bunch of youth group people. And we were sitting around and we were talking, and after about half an hour, one of the students raised her hand and she said, "Can we stop talking about this and just actually get something done?" Because we all like to sit back in that comfortable space. In that comfortable place where we can plan and kind of figure out stuff and how things are supposed to go and everything's going to be great. Just let someone else do the work. Sounds great. And I think in a strange way, that's where Jesus is. Jesus has been revealed in himself to be the Son of God. And he has an awesome responsibility to save the world. But he has also been endowed with the power to heal, to save sinners, to, you know, pronounce God's blessing. He has this great, you know, power surging through him. And as a being from heaven, he also knows the pleasures of what it's like to be human. You know, to taste a burger. To, you know, drink a beer. To, you know, feel the sun on your face. To, you know, to pee, you know, to be here as a child of God rather than the only begotten Son of God. In a movie, which I may or may not recommend to those under 21, The City of Angels. He is a God descended from heaven, and he is now experiencing for the first time what it means to be human, to feel warmth, to feel a touch, to feel the sun on your face, to, you know, to feel water cursing through your lips and to drink it, to eat food and to taste it. It's amazing. So it's no wonder that he waited for 30 years to say, okay, now I'm going to be the Son of God and we're going to do this thing. Because he has had so much time to, you know, say, this is good. I mean, you know, God has really created a great place for us to be. And I'm going to stay here for a while. And this is good. Until he walks down the street in his village and his cousin says to him, "Oh, look, there's my cousin. He's the Son of God. He's the anointed. He's the Messiah. He's the one who's going to lead you out from sin into the land of righteousness. He is the one who is going to save you and to drive the Romans out, and you are going to be free." Whoops. I just wanted to have a burger and a beer with my friends. And here he is calling me out. Anyone know this phrase, calling me out? Raise your hand. When you're called out, you're exposed. You know who you are. You know who people think you are. So imagine that you're this kid growing up in a small provincial town, in a small province, in a great empire, like St. Clair Shores. This dusky town that no one's ever heard of before, and all of a sudden you know who you are. And with the great power comes the great revelation. You will have supper with your friends, and those friends are going to betray you. And those friends are going to say, "No, I don't know him." And you are anointed by God to die for those who are around you. That's who you are. Who wouldn't put that off for 30 years? Who wouldn't say, "You know, I'm not quite ready yet. I'm just quite sure." When Jesus takes on the role of the Savior of the world, he also takes on the sacrifice of the Savior of the world. And John is calling him out. He said, "You know what? You're staying with these people. You're a freeloader. You're staying with Simon and all of his brothers who were really rich fishermen. And it's time, cousin, to get the work done. It's time to do the thing that God has ordained you to do." Now, I use that word ordained in a generic way. Where's Kevin O'Connor? In a generic way. Ordained means to be set apart, called by God for a specific task. So, y'all take me and say, "Okay, you know, you're the one, you do the work, and then we'll just give our money and everything's going to be fine." Doesn't work that way, does it? We are all called. We're all called out. We're all ordained by God to do the work that we have been given to do. I am the last one to say, "Don't do it," because I've done it. I'm the last one to say, "Yeah, it'll be fine," because it's not. I was called and I resisted. I was called and I said no. I vowed to God that I would never do three things. I would never live in New York City. I would never own a cell phone. And as an Irish Catholic, I would never kneel in a Protestant church. This is where Jesus is. Jesus is us. Jesus is us when we say, "No, I'm not going to do it. I'm too old, too busy, I've done it, everything's going along fine, why would I complicate my life?" And Jesus asks, God asks us to say yes, knowing full well where it leads. The greatest amount of human courage that Jesus said was to take on his disciples and to lead them to truth. The greatest part of Jesus' promise that we can do, because if you haven't connected with at least one emotion that I've been talking to you about, you're just like way off the spectrum. When we connect with that message, We know what we need to do. What's the first reaction? Nope, can't do it. Sorry, can't do it. The best reaction is yes. And to save you the trouble, say yes right now. Because you're going to get there anyway. Because that's what Jesus did, and that's what Jesus did for us. So, whatever voice you have been denying, whatever sound that you've been hearing and saying, I'm not enough, say yes. And I know I'm going to spend the next 10,000 years in purgatory for saying this, but even if it's just being called to the vestry, just being called to the finance committee, just being called to help out with the altar guild or the choir or something about this community, listen to the voice of God. Because, sisters and brothers, when you hear the voice of John the Baptist, you know it's time to say yes. You know that you can't hide from it. So, let us not hide from it. Let us be bold and forthright. And despite everything that we have laid up for ourselves to impede our saying yes, let us say yes to the voice of God, which is speaking to us every day, so that we may do God's will this day and always. Amen.